The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning and welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. It's great to be back with you. I took a couple weeks doing some big things over at InvestView, which I shared with you recently. It's really been just a great couple weeks. Why? Markets have been interesting. I believe that the stirring of the markets for the last couple weeks have brought a lot of emotions to the front. And what better time than to bring in a guest later on in the show that really wants to key on the whole idea of behavioral finance and risk. So we'll bring on Victor Ricciardi. He's a professor over at Financial Management over at Goucher College. And the reason that this is so timely, folks, is that it just feels to me like the emotions of the market are really, really stirring up here right now. And again, you read the newspapers. Geez, there's a lot of bad news out there. There's a lot of craziness going on internationally. Frankly, domestically, the economy, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? If you know me long enough, and I hope you do, all that is literally just noise, okay? And what I want to bring out is that with all the craziness of the market, I'm looking, if you had been on vacation, if you've been on a cruise for, say, the last 6-5 months, you come off the boat and you say, okay, what's the stock market doing? Well, the S&P's up 5%, NASDAQ's up around 4%. Not so bad halfway through the year. Almost seems like we're on course for exactly what I called in the early part of the year, a positive year, an up year. And folks, if there's something coming in the middle of the year that everyone freaks out about and is nervous about, I'll tell you that the economics of the country continue to improve. There continues to be so much money, and the most, what I called in the Forbes article from last week, the most unloved bull market in my absolute memory. I can't even remember it. So if you go to Forbes.com, what I did, and I want to bring out a couple interesting points about the article itself. I talk about the market first, and then I said, you know, even though we continue to be in a bull market, I gave out one of my top short positions. You know, on this show, I don't even like to mention the stocks I'm buying or selling. It's much more important in this case to teach you to fish rather than to try to give you the fish of the day. Why? Primarily because you don't know when I'm selling and you don't know when I'm buying. And so I love to share my best ideas, but over at InvestView, and folks, that's a public company. The symbol's INVU. They host a series of newsletters before I got there that have returns that are actually, you know, off the charts, but they're documented. There are a lot of different strategies from whether we're an aggressive, a short-term, or a longer-term investor. But the point in this article, I basically shared the fact that this is not a time, it's never been the time, in my opinion, to say, well, the market this, the market that. Again, it's kind of like saying kids in America are fat, kids in America are stupid, nobody does their homework. You've heard me rant about this because it gets me upset. It's this whitewashing And you know what? You go to the 1800s, the 1850s, the 1900s, the 1950s. How many people can you name out of those generations? Well, my point is that in every generation, there's a few individuals on the tip of the bell curve that basically make all the difference in mankind. And you know what? Those few companies on the tip of the bell curve literally make all the difference for me and my returns. So when you go to AAII.com, I love to share that name. It's America's largest individual network of individual investors. They run a magnet model. And as of a year or so ago, the magnet model was ranked number one over 3 years, number one over 5 years, I think number two over 10 years. And we still show a very dramatic outperformance to the market. But one of the guys, by the way, in a service that I use, and I don't really think we've had him on this show yet, but they put out an article. It's called Zacks. I get their data as part of how we build the magnet spreadsheet. But they put out a note today called The Holy Grail of Investing. It says too often investors talk about value and growth as if they're on two different spectrums. Complicated further, they look at opposing forces, yet what if we could combine those two, value and growth? Well, folks, 25 years ago, when I talked about blending value, growth, and momentum, people told me it's too much. Nobody, it doesn't work. Strategies don't work. It's only led to one of the top performances if you can set it and forget it. And that's why I'm really interested in this next segment. You know, behavioral finance is interesting to me. The media has a way of going and talking about a sector. It doesn't even matter what the sector is, what the part of the world they're talking about. When everyone's talking about you got to buy gold, you got to buy gold, you got to buy gold. This was, again, after something like a 10-year run in gold where everyone piled into gold near the top. It got very emotional. Same thing happens when you go into any sector or you go into anything unloved. So just 6 weeks ago, they were absolutely destroying biotech companies. Just whether good, bad, indifferent, 20% off, 30% off, 40% off, haircut, haircut, haircut. And people said, well, the great rotation, now it's time you got to get out of these companies, and now it's time to get into the safer companies. Well, folks, if they rang the bell at the top and they said, now we think the market's going to roll over, now we suggest, but they didn't. They came in after biotechs were basically down 30% and said, sell them. Well, that's when I put out the note for us saying, hey, wait a second, you know, that's not the right time. It's a matter of great companies. And in fact, what I did is I mentioned even in this Forbes.com article, if you go to Forbes.com and you just hit in Jordan Kimmel, they will have many, many articles by me, but one just from last week, which I highlighted a couple of my top companies, and then just one short. I happen to be sitting short 8 different stocks right now. So when I talk to you about how bullish I am on what I'm doing, it doesn't mean that you throw a dart and buy the whole market or all companies are created equally the same way. All kids, all baseball players, all violinists. I'm interested in a 19-factor model that literally can separate the wheat from the chaff. The companies with the highest growing profit margins, the highest growing cash flow, the fastest accelerating revenues. Well, when you're in those kind of companies, as opposed to companies that are making their earnings by just simply buying back shares or simply cutting costs to the point where employees are screaming bloody murder. No, I'm actually interested in the companies with accelerating revenue, cash flow, and margins. And it might sound a little crazy, but if you go back to the nearly 8 years of archived videos on Voice America for this show, I will tell you, I don't really even care who the next Fed governor is. I don't care who the president of the United States is, or, believe it or not, what party is in power. I think, folks, we have way too much noise, way too much confusion, and you know what? This whole idea of behavioral finance, the whole idea, frankly, behind magnet investing is a quantitative screened approach. And of course I use timing. Of course I use charts. Of course I'm interested in what's going on day to day. But I don't react to news. I don't sell into panics. I don't buy into euphoria. It's a matter of buying a great company at a great price, meaning that I'm not using the same valuation as other people, but they'll sit there and they'll watch a market go up 8 straight days or a stock go up 8 straight days, and then they decide they have to buy that stock. And it goes down for a couple of days, they decide they have to sell it, and they wonder why they continue to lose money. So what we'll be doing, I want you to take my email at jkimmel@investview.com. I'd like you to offer, we will score your portfolio out on Magnet. It will be complimentary. Just give the office a phone call. Tell them you want to either get your portfolio scored or email me directly. The office number, by the way, direct line, 732-380-7271. The email, again, is jkimmel@investview.com. Complimentary, will score your portfolio out. I'm now managing individual accounts over there. If you want your account managed, if you want someone just to bounce off of, what we're going to start to do now is a whole series of videos which we're going to post to voiceamerica.tv. And watch for this, folks. Watch for the .tv to light up. Gone are the days where you have to wait a month for your newsletter to come, or you need to do something along those lines. The key is we're interested in constant communication, getting in front of you, showing you what we do. And by the way, we don't walk on water. And not every stock I'll talk about goes up, and not every short goes down. It's a matter of keeping your emotions in check. It's a matter of having a game plan. It's a matter of working your model till you can. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to bring on Professor of Behavioral Finance next. Take a real quick break with me. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And what I always like to do, rather than just share my own opinions, I like to bring on leading experts in different fields of investing. And today I want to bring on the professor of financial management over at Goucher College. It's all about behavioral finance and risk management. He's also another Wiley author. His book just came out, and it's Victor Ricciardi. And Victor, your new, first of all, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me, Jordan. I always look forward to talking about behavioral finance.
Great. I think it's so important. I think it's one of the missing links. Share with us, if you will, what your new book is titled, what it's really all about, and I really want to dig into the subject because it's probably one of the growth areas, understanding how people think. It's not all about spreadsheets, as we know, Victor. So share a little bit about your background, a little bit about the book, and then we'll dig a little deeper.
Well, I've been a full-time professor for about 8 years. I started working off for Wall Street firms. I was originally, my first 7 or 8 years of my career, I started off as a mutual fund accountant. So one of my other areas of expertise are mutual funds / portfolio management. And then my current book deals with the name of it's Investor Behavior, the Psychology of Financial Planning and Investing. And I'm a co-editor with Kent Baker of American University. And what we did was we recruited 45 experts to write 30 chapters on all the emerging research in behavioral finance / investor behavior.
Well, I think it's great when you take a whole bunch of different sources and kind of pull them together. And, you know, I saw we had a Nobel Prize on behavioral economics. It's just come to the forefront in it. And, you know, what I'd like you to do, it might sound overly simple to you being so immersed in it. Give people kind of a working definition on even what that's about. It's a pretty broad subject. I would like you to just start right there.
Well, essentially, behavioral finance deals with the alternative perspective in which people are not necessarily very irrational. They tend to make decisions based on bounded rationality, in which essentially we suffice. We sometimes make the satisfactory decision. We don't always make the optimal decision. So two things we typically suffer from are overconfidence. That causes many of us to stray too much. Another piece of it is people tend to be loss averse, in which a loss feels twice as painful as an equivalent gain. So those are kind of a couple of examples of the basics of behavioral finance.
Right. And so let's tackle these a little at a time. And I will share with you, Victor, one of the words I love to read. I was reading this book a few years ago, and I came across a word I really didn't know. So I like to look them up. It's called hubris.
Hubris essentially is just another way of saying overconfidence. So for example, a classic or seminal study by Terrence O'Dean and Brad Barber looked at actual investment accounts of about 35 discount clients or brokerage firms, and they found for a six-year period that women actually wound up being better investors than men because men tend to be overconfident or hubris because they trade too much and they wind up getting lower returns than men. So my joke is to my male students is just learn to say yes, dear.
Hey, sounds like you're married also, right?
I know when to say yes, dear.
Yeah, well, that's something we do cover a lot of different things, but you know, I think one of the things I share and you know, my simple example is nobody, I don't think in history, has ever won their first game of chess. But you have a lot of really extraordinarily, history will show you extraordinarily successful, accomplished people who've lost a lot of money in the stock market because it just runs a little bit different. And what I'd like you to talk about maybe is, you know, this kind of counterintuitiveness sometimes about, you know, when people invest and when they sell. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense sometimes.
Well, I think people, because they don't necessarily match their risk tolerance with their proper asset allocation strategy, and they really don't understand what risk is to begin with, that they wind up putting themselves in investments that during a bull market, the market's going up, people don't even think about what the word risk is. But then if you look at something like the financial crisis, that creates a traumatic event and deep swings in a portfolio when people haven't been assessed the proper risk tolerance winds up making people buying high and selling low. I think that's always a major issue for many people.
Right. And Victor, you know, I was going to cover something maybe after this next segment. Maybe I'll even cover it with you. I mean, let me just ask you as I'm going through these discussions. Maybe do you have time to join us for a second segment?
Sure.
Because there's a lot I want to cover, okay? And so you brought up something really, really interesting where people will say, listen, we ask them in this business to kind of fill out and get to know your client a little bit and what will happen if the market pulls back and what will happen and how will you react to it. Well, I think most people dramatically miscalculate their ability to sit through different cycles. And this new thing happened where people begin to think, hey, if it goes down 2 or 3%, maybe it's going to go down 50%. I want to jump out now and jump back in at the right time. And I want to ask you if you've done any studies on this, have done any reading, is this kind of behavior accelerating because the world is speeding up? It seems like everyone wants to trade faster and faster and faster.
Well, I think what centers around is two pieces. I think risk tolerance is defined, and we have a chapter in the book that I actually wrote with a co-author, and we talk about risk tolerance versus risk perception. Risk tolerance is essentially the amount of risk, or the amount of risk a person is willing to put, say, in the stock market, as a percentage, for example. Risk perception is that we're ultimately driven by our subjective decision-making, such as fear and worry. So, for example, if you look at something like the financial crisis, people may have been in a certain type of risk tolerance category. So say they were very conservative. However, during the market crisis, if they were if they were in risky assets, they wind up getting burnt and they lost a lot of money. So even after the crisis, some of the literature shows those people may have essentially the same risk tolerance, but what's starting to change is their risk perception. So the fear or that risk perception is much higher, and that ultimately is driving them to be scared of investing in stocks, because we have such a high percentage of people not investing in stocks. So I think over time, the financial crisis may be for some people in which their risk perception over time may actually change their long-term risk tolerance for stocks.
Right. Well, you know, thinking about it and you know, I've read a lot about this and I think it's a really important subject, but people who saw their parents and grandparents literally go through the Depression, you know, a lot of those people never invested in the stock market. They thought it was a gamble. And a lot of times, maybe we could talk about this, you know, after and into the next segment, but you hear people talking about, you know, what an incredible gamble, and maybe how much do you have to play with. Which absolutely drives me crazy, you know, when I hear that, because owning successful businesses and owning a small sliver of a company that raised its dividend 30 years in a row because they have accelerating cash flow just doesn't sound all that risky to me.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it is. And again, that's in the book we have several chapters of trader behavior versus investor behavior. And I think for some personalities, certain people are pre-described just to be traders, and they don't have a long-term view. You know, typically we suffer from what's known as self-control bias. So that means the same thing in the same notion is that the same part of the brain that says we like sex, we like to eat, well, I'm Italian, I like to eat my pasta, I eat too much pasta and pizza, but the other piece of the brain that also controls that is a spending component, but also a money component. So what that really creates is an inner ability for certain personality types to be able to invest for the long term. So then they associate that spending behavior with that gambling behavior, and then I think that also then extends to why someone may call the stock market a gamble.
Right, and I think it's just a really important subject. And again, the short note I would share with you, Victor, is I have a brother that's a clinical psychologist, and actually he's an expert in right brain and left brain. I will tell you, he's probably, sorry, Mark, if you listen on this one, but he's one of the worst investors I've ever met, and he just really can't control his emotions. And if you can't control your emotions and you're working around fear and greed and you're reacting to news stories as they kind of hit the public and they hit the major newspapers, the sad news is you're going to, over time, lose money. And what I will share, Victor, is that you look at things like the Fidelity Magellan Fund, which had its great run when Peter Lynch was there, and the evidence showed more people lost money in Magellan than made money in Magellan, because they simply were buying and selling and getting in and getting out at exactly the wrong time. But there's a lot I want to cover with you. What I think we should do, Victor, is this. Let's pause for a break. Before we do that, I want you to, if there's any contact information that you'd like to share, clearly let's remind everybody about your book again. I'm sure they can get it not only on Amazon but in all the locations. Share your contact information if you'd like to. If you don't want to, that's okay too. And maybe like a website where they could read some of your other works and so on. So why don't we do that, and then we'll take a break.
Okay, great. The book is Investor Behavior. My co-editor is Kent Baker, and my name is Victor Riccardi. You can also find me, the best way or the easiest way to contact me is I have a Twitter account. So you can either search Twitter by Behavioral Finance, and my name will come up, or my handle essentially is my last name, my first name, my last name, which is Victor Riccardi, V-I-C-T-O-R. Last name Riccardi. So, but typically, if you just search Twitter by Behavioral Finance, my name will come up because I have about 68,000 followers.
Wow. Okay. So people are out there listening, and what I want you to do, by the way, this link, Victor, a lot of people don't have time during the day, but this link is going to be available to you, so we'll give it to you for replay, and all the different guests and all the different segments we've had on for years, all archived. That's the beauty of the new medium. So we're with Victor Riccardi. We'll be right back. We'll talk some more behavioral finance, and we'll really dig a little bit deeper into the subject, which I think is critical. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick-and-mortar locations or traditional banker's hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. We're talking with Victor Riccardi, and he's the author of Investor Behavior. He's also the professor over at Goucher College, and his subject, his area of expertise, is behavioral finance and risk. And, you know, Victor, there's so much to think about this, but let me kind of start this way. I have one kid in college, one kid ready to go to college, and, you know, we're talking about behavioral finance, and a year ago when the U.S. Treasuries were having a negative yield, literally a negative yield, my kid says, it's impossible, Dad. No one would ever invest like that. It's not really rational. Why would anybody over any period of time invest their money where they know they're going to lose money to inflation and so on? So let's start there. Like, why do you think that was taking place, and what do you think caused that to happen?
Well, I think the perception among, especially if people don't have enough financial literacy, is they think of safety as just protecting principal. Many people do not understand, say, something like when you're talking about inflation risk or potentially getting negative returns. So I think, so you know, you tell somebody that they feel comfort in knowing that, you know, if they have a $10,000 bond, that bond principal is they perceive is safe versus a stock. They don't necessarily process the rate of return. Something in the behavioral literature talks about an anchoring effect. So many times people anchor on one piece of information, so that the piece of information for some of those people would be just the anchoring on the principal, but that also then relates to something called mental accounting. People have a mental account, again, where they focus on just the protection of the principal, and they don't look at the complete picture, which would be also looking at the rate of return.
Right, and again, you know, I think that the sad part is a lot of it, and I mentioned in the beginning, I think that the people from the Depression era, they'll say things like, well, I've never lost a dime in the stock market. I've left all my money in the bank. Geez, I can't believe how expensive things are right now. I can't believe how much movies cost and college costs. And someone else who just said, listen, I'm not going to really play the market. It's not my area of expertise, but I'm going to be involved in some companies that just increase their dividend every single year. And you look back, and those people literally don't have to look at prices anymore. They've got so much, you know, if you've been involved in the market for a long period of time, but I do believe that what happened in this case is that there's such a breakdown in trust on Wall Street, and this has happened a few different times, you know, over a century, where no matter how cheap stocks get and how irrational it was to buy them, people were just too afraid.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, especially if you take trust as essentially can be a component. I mean, again, people think of risk usually as a statistical measure, such as something like beta or standard deviation from the standard or the rational school. But many of these behavioral factors impact the perception of risk that people want to take. So people who essentially have a lack of trust in the market, that's essentially that trust is a component of risk. So if people have a lack of or a deep negative feeling about the market or lack of trust, they perceive the market as then being essentially more riskier, and they don't want to put their money in the stock market is another issue.
Right. And so let me just share a couple thoughts. You know, what one of which is a great old saying by a guy named Zig Ziglar, who is really a motivational guy, and he was saying every year a 500,000 half-inch drill bits are sold every year, but nobody really wants a half-inch drill bit. And the twist to the thing was everyone wanted a half-inch hole. And everyone wants financial independence and to be wealthy and to have their money, you know, last their lifetime plus give a lot away. We know it just simply can't happen if you leave your money in the bank. Right? And so I think that people want the returns from the stock market, but don't want the risk associated with the fact that stocks are volatile. They go up and down a lot more than other instruments. And I think studies have been shown the smaller the volatility, the smaller the absolute total return over time. And it begs the question, if you really had a lot of time, why wouldn't you let your principal fluctuate? And I think it comes down to one thing, which is behavior, right?
Well, it's behavior, but also, I mean, even like a basic concept that's not even taught to many people is something like the time value of money. I mean, the impact of getting an 8 or 9% of return investing for 25 to 30 to 40 years, we're just behaviorally, we're not, as I was saying before, we're not programmed to, it's related to that idea of something like self-control bias. A perfect example is something like annuity products. Most people don't, you know, you tell someone age 30, would you like an annuity at age 65 is going to give you $2,000 of income per year? But if you say the same person at retirement, if you say the same person at age 30, I have a $2,000 annuity that will give you $2,000. Income at age 65, and you can use that money for a spending component, such as vacation, playing golf. But the person who just views the plain annuity income of $2,000, only about 25% of the people take the instrument. If you frame the decision, or the long-term investment decision, around a spending decision, about 65% of the people will take the instrument. So there's just a way, and that's why either a financial planner talking with a client, or even as a person trying to motivate themselves for saving for the long term, make the investment objective centered around a later spending or consumption component, and that will help people save for the future.
Right. Well, you know, what I've been trying to figure out, we have a whole body of work, you know, I'm involved. We actually created something, Victor, called Trust Across America. Mm-hmm. And we have a model where we look at the most trustworthy companies. That's a whole nother subject. It's too long to get into. But the whole idea is that I had said, and I was afraid of it, that once the recession does end, once the markets start to trade better, people simply won't come back anytime soon because they just the trust got broken down on Wall Street and people are just too afraid. And it's happened before. I guess one thing I'd love to know, and I've read a lot about behavioral finance, are there any kind of subjects that you cover in the book that you don't think are covered in other books, and maybe, you know, some of the unique conclusions that you've drawn and bring out in your book, Behavior, Investor Behavior?
Two chapters in the book that are very unique are there's really, since the financial crisis, is the psychology profession has really embraced behavioral finance. Originally, the discipline was people, the finance profession, finance professors, taking much of the research in psychology. So what we have in the book is a couple of chapters. One's on financial counseling and another one on financial therapy. And so, you're talking about some decisions are just made because people have a lack of financial literacy. Well, for some people, some people, a smaller segment of the population, really has much deeper issues in which the psychological therapists are actually now providing money therapy to clients, because also they realize if they just call themselves regular therapists, they could charge $200 an hour. If you call yourself a trading coach or a money therapist, you could charge people $1,000 an hour.
I love it. I love it. It's funny. And you know what? I think that what you're talking about, though, is really needed. I think people do need coaches. I have, again, I've watched my brother, who is brilliant in business, and I share with him it's Albert Einstein, it's Mark Twain. The list goes on and on with great names and real great thinkers who've just done nothing but lose money in the stock market. And it's very important to understand why you do and what you do. I think it's a really critical and important subject. And so there's a couple minutes left. Tell me what else you'd like to share. Tell me maybe the biggest mistake that you see individuals make besides just being overconfident.
Well, I would say that that builds on the overconfident, but there are really two groups of investors. One group, as I said, is the overconfident investor, which is typically people who trade too much. Maybe they have their own trading accounts. They have a discount broker. But the other opposite side of the coin are status quo investors, or people who suffer from inertia. Say they have a retirement account in which they are saving money for retirement, but they do not monitor their retirement account at all. So essentially, people should see a financial planner once a year. They should have a strategy matching their risk tolerance with an asset allocation strategy, but also to overcome the status quo bias, they should rebalance within that 401k plan, say, once per year, so they stay within their risk tolerance structure.
Right. No, what you're bringing up is really critical points, and the question often comes, are people able to do this on their own? Do they need a professional? The thing that I can't really get around it. Some people like to have someone else that they could blame, and I believe in taking absolute control over your diet, your finance, your health, and you can't blame your advisor, you can't blame your doctor, you can't blame your teacher. There's a lot of opportunity, a lot of books to read, a lot of different strategies to embrace. And so what I want to do, Victor, I really want to thank you for joining us. I think it's a really important conversation. And I will tell you this, I'm going to fess up here. I haven't read your book yet. I am definitely going to. And then maybe what I'll do is even invite you back on maybe towards the end of the year, and as emotions are running wild, we'll discuss again. Before we hop off, one more time, why don't you give your contact information and let everyone reach you, read your articles, and, of course, read your book, Investor Behavior. And fellow Wiley author, let's make sure Wiley gets their due. And I know they put together a great book. So why don't you give your contact information again, and we'll take it from there.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter. You can either search the Twitter by the key term behavioral finance, or you can find my name, which is Victor Riccardi. In other words, Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R, my last name, Riccardi, R-I-C-C-I-A-R-D-I.
Okay, and Victor, you're giving the kids a nice liberal arts education over there. My kids go to a great liberal arts school. I think it's important to take all these pieces. And the big takeaway here, it's not about the spreadsheet. It's about deciphering, you know, what works for you, having a plan, and then, of course, keeping your behavior in check and following the plan as best you can. So thanks again for your time. We'll take a real quick break here right now. I'll say thanks to Victor for joining us. We'll be right back with more Magnin Investing after the quick break.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everyone, to Magna Investing. And that was a great segment with Victor. We talked about behavioral finance, and even at the break, we talked a little bit further. I want to bring out a couple really important points. Stick right on the same theme because I think it's really important. Most people, when they invest, invest without a plan. I'll buy some bonds. Or someone said something about this. I'll buy some of that stock. This hodgepodge type of thing. When it's really one of the most important things you're doing is staying healthy. And having enough money to not only buy what you want, but to be the right kind of citizen and give away money and so on and so on. So there's something called an investment policy statement. And if you have completed one, congratulations. Most people literally don't even take the time to do it. Well, what we're doing at InvestView, it's not a matter that Magnet is a really good strategy and has really good long returns, and that's what you should invest in. That'd probably be the biggest mistake on an approach of investing as you could make. What about a different thing where you actually deep think, where are you, who are you, what do you need, what kind of personality do you have, what kind of needs, what kind of perhaps special needs, how close to retirement, really spending a fair amount of time that you can create what's called an investment policy statement. Now, by the way, there's not a single pension endowment that's run without one. They don't even invest a nickel before they take the time to complete the investment policy statement. It hasn't really filtered all the way down into what I call retail, the million-dollar investor and below, because Wall Street's about commissions. It's got to be fast. It's got to be quick. So what we're going to do at InvestView is we're going to provide the opportunity for people to get a complimentary investment policy statement done for them. And when I say complimentary, we obviously can't do one for everybody that calls in. We'll be running webinars. We'll be reaching out to some of our existing newsletter clients first. If this is something, though, that's interesting to you, you know, what I will say here is the first 50 people that email in to jkimmel@investview.com, the first 50 people will get a complimentary investment policy statement done for them. They normally run, if you go to a financial planner, maybe $1,000 or so, but what you end up with a blueprint that could potentially save you from making the wrong decisions. And people who ever sat down with me and I've handled their account, I draw something called the train of equities, and people know it well. And what I mean by that, you know, if you were to draw a picture from the lower left-hand corner of your page to the upper right-hand corner of the page, that 45-degree angle, well, stocks do go up over long periods of time. And if you were to then draw five-year periods going down horizontally and call that the train of equity, what I say is the train literally pulls into the station every 5 years. The fact is you might not be on that train when it pulls in, though. So if you look at that trend line of going from upper to the upper right-hand corner from the lower left, there are times when the market does way, way, way better than average. And when that happens, people tend to want to invest all their money. And then you go through periods of time and cycles where the market underperforms historical rates of return. People don't like to stay on that train at that time. They like to jump off that train. They lose 10%. They're afraid, what if I lose it all? And this fear, this behavioral piece just comes lurching out at them, and they literally can't stay on course. So, you know, I mentioned in the previous segment, more people, it's absolutely documented by Fidelity. More people lost money in the greatest mutual fund in the 80s because they jumped in and they jumped out, they jumped in and they jumped out, and they actually lost money while Peter Lynch was putting up one of the greatest performance numbers of any mutual fund in history. It actually had one of the secrets, folks. There was no load, so you could jump in and jump out and jump in and jump out. Well, I'll tell you, someone took a different approach, and that was John Templeton. And John Templeton, who actually was one of the really fathers of global investing and, you know, one of the fathers of international investing, and he's a great, great story. You should know as much about him as you can. He basically said, I'm going to start a mutual fund, and I'm going to charge an 8% commission. Eight. And people were, you know, broke. Some brokers liked it because they got paid a lot when they sold it, but the investors didn't. They said, why should I pay 8%? Well, history showed you, though, when you paid that 8% to Templeton, you didn't really go anywhere. You put your money in. Those people tended to stay invested for 5, 10, 20, 15 years, and they ended up making a tremendous amount of money, even though they paid that load. So am I talking about load versus no load? I'm not. What I'm talking about is that load was that anchor that made people stay still. It actually created a plan for them. They said, I'm not going to lose that whole 8% by jumping in and out. But when it was a no load, it cost nothing to get in and out. Let me sharpen my wits and try to figure out how to time this thing, and most people simply lost. So the key message is here is at my old firm, by the way, and when I ran my own company for many years, I told you there was one thing I had, and that was called Magnet. And you either invested in it or you didn't. What we're doing at InvestView now is a whole different approach. It's approach around an individual's investment policy statement first, really trying to get a handle on what they can and cannot handle in the market. Because I will tell you, sharp turns will come. And when they come, we want to make sure you stay on plan. And it might actually be a growth and income fund for you that's better than Magnet for you. It might actually be a bond fund, even though it's not what I would do, but it's what you feel comfortable in. So this is about being able to communicate very clearly, very constantly. We're going to be using, by the way, voiceamerica.tv as our primary tool. Staying in front of you, doing one webinar after the other, and if you get confused and if you jump off the train, well, that's the way life works. No one can, you know, force people to keep their seatbelt, even when they're supposed to. But I think that what we're doing here excites me. I think that what disturbs me is people now saying, well, the market did go up 100%. I'm still sitting in the money market. Maybe it's going to correct, so I'll wait for it now to correct before I get in, because, you know, it's at an all-time high, so now I don't want to get in. These are all emotional decisions that have got nothing to do with valuation, and I can tell you that I'm looking at my live portfolio while I'm on the phone right now, and I see a bunch of shorts which are clearly overvalued, already in downtrends with insider selling, margins declining. I also see a group of stocks, Some of them in the great energy business that we're in right now, and this is a if you can't find what to invest in and you're sitting on the sidelines, folks, shame on you. You really have to really work with a professional to help you. And the way I always end it is you gotta read my books, you gotta read other people's books, you gotta start trading slowly, and then you gotta actually make sure your money is not sitting in a place where you know you have to lose money to inflation. So one more time, I'll give you the phone number at InvestView, and there's no machine. We'll answer your phone. We'll get to work for you, 732-380-7210. And if you, some people are afraid to call, and I'm not sure why, but jkimmel@investview.com and ask me for an investment policy statement. We'll do the first 50 complimentary. Ask me to get your portfolio reviewed by Magnet, and we'll take it from there. So what I want to say is it's always great to be on the show. The most important part of the show is probably the fact that everything is archived for years. You can go back literally every quarter and see what I was saying in 09, 08, 07, 11. And it's been fairly consistent. You have to have a plan. There are always individual companies that are better than others. There's always a way to use the market psychology in your favor. But again, nobody won their first chess game, and people need to be taught how to actually harvest fruit, vegetables on time, and when to plant and when to reap. These are all things that translate directly actually into the stock market. And I look forward to working with you and seeing you right here on Voice America next week, same time, same place. Have a great week ahead, folks. If you have any ideas, thoughts, email us, call us, email Voice America. And we'll see you over, by the way, at Voice America TV very soon with our videos. And have a great week. We'll see you right here next week. Have a wonderful week. Take care. I'll see you then. Bye now.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.